A generation of young people face economic hardship due to the coronavirus pandemic. But will throwing money at the problem help them find jobs? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. We begin with Generation Z, or the so-called COVID generation born after 1996. Many, if not most of them, will struggle to find jobs and buy a home due to the crisis. The BBC spoke to some of the young Britons facing gloomy prospects.
Just before lockdown happened, I started looking at getting into the world of work through my background with a qualification in social policy. Those jobs that I was previously looking at just aren't there anymore, so we need some sort of support to help me get back into a different sector.
I live in Llanarmon and Yarl in North Wales, and I am 18 years old. Before lockdown, I was working in a small pub after school. I think it'd be nice for the government to be able to help young people out because there'll be less hours, and also their minimum wage is a lot lower than adults.
Well, it appears the British government has a plan. Later today, Finance Minister Rishi Sunak will announce a $2.5 billion job scheme to help these young people aged 16 to 24. The BBC's business editor, Simon Jack, explains how it will all work.
The centrepiece for today will undoubtedly be this jobs fund to pay the first 25 hours of, we think, between 300,000 and 400,000 people, you know, encouraging people to take them on, and the government would subsidise those wages, because the big bogeyman here is the government is desperate to stop a generation of younger workers remaining in unemployment.
But will these measures be enough? Paul Novak works at the TUC. That's Britain's biggest trade union umbrella group.
Hopefully it will encourage employers to think seriously about taking on young workers. And we know that young people have been disproportionately hit by the economic effects of the pandemic, 2.5 times more likely to work in sectors of the economy that have been shut down. They need to work with employers and unions to make sure these are good quality jobs, that they provide real training opportunities. We'd like to see employers commit to pay the national living wage. But it's a step in the right direction. We know there is a lot more the government needs to do, though, to give the economy the real boost it needs.
The jobs conundrum and generational inequality is a problem facing most countries around the world. In China, for example, the official jobless number has hovered around the government's target. But even though the official figures might not reflect it, more layoffs are expected across the country just as millions of fresh graduates start to look for work. The BBC's Robin Brand visited one factory where their American customers have disappeared and the employees are barely hanging on.
A few sparks are flying. There's the white glow of welding at a workbench. But the truth is, half this factory floor is in darkness. Lotus United is a business that's desperately trying to keep the lights on. It makes the rails and the racks for the shops, or at least it used to. Two floors of manufacturing, around 100 employees, has been reduced to this. A handful of staff, piles of rusty inventory on the floor, and the boss stranded in Europe.
We haven't received any substantial mass production order to keep the factory running, to be able to pay salaries.
Yulia Yakubova spoke to me on Skype from Italy.
The last thing that I would want to do is to really fire and let go employees.
Among the workers who are hanging on is Juan. He's had a 50% pay cut. I've had to cut my spending in half, he told me. And his family has been hit hard because his wife also works at the factory. They are a tiny part of China's vast wave of migrant workers. If the company goes under, they'll lose their pay. There'll be nothing to send back home to their daughter.
We have great pressures on our living here. If I can't hold on, then we will have to leave.
The jobless total in China has already hit the government's 6% target, and the party worries incessantly about the effects on social stability. Just listen to Li Keqiang, this country's premier and number two politician.
The truth is that in April, that figure already hit 6%. Employment is the biggest concern in people's lives. It is something of paramount importance for all families.
But there's one group the party in particular worries about. Mr. Li has already admitted that the outlook for graduates like 23-year-old Jiang is grim. Outside a jobs event in Shanghai, she told us that her plans were up in the air.
Of course, there is an impact. Graduating students who plan to pursue further study now all turn to look for jobs. And we don't have any internship experience.
There are almost 9 million graduates entering China's job market this summer. When this country really was a communist country, the government used to assign them jobs. but not now. Young, educated, unemployed and resentful graduates, well, they've repeatedly been a problem for the ruling party.
The BBC's Robin Brandt reporting there from China's eastern coast. Let's do the numbers. Here in London, the FTSE 100 is trading lower ahead of the government's jobs announcement. Shares of HSBC Bank, which is listed in both London and Hong Kong, are falling sharply on speculation President Trump may look to sanction some banks in Hong Kong. He is also reportedly examining the city's long-standing currency peg to the US dollar. HSBC earns more than two-thirds of its pre-tax income from Hong Kong and last month endorsed China's controversial new security law. And over in Southeast Asia, Indonesian stocks rose 1.8% on Wednesday. The government there has announced a 10% value-added tax on six technology firms, including Google, Amazon and Netflix. Now, staying with technology, a network of giant high-altitude balloons has started providing internet access to remote areas of Kenya. It's the first commercial deployment of technology developed by Google's sister firm, Loon. Alistair Westgarth is Loon's chief executive.
You basically could think of it as a 20-kilometer-tall tower. So the balloon is full of helium. The helium lifts up a cellular base station, a mobile base station, and that mobile base station has 4G LTE plus power plus the ability to backhaul that signal so that it gets connected to the World Wide Web and the internet in general. One balloon can cover up to about 11,000 square kilometers, but obviously for an area like a significant part of Kenya, we have multiple balloons flying, about 35 balloons over Kenya.
The balloon service will also help Kenya monitor the spread of coronavirus infections and help link up rural clinics that are hard to access. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening. As always, you can download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, marketplace.org. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.